Our second reading today is in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And we're going to read what is a very familiar story about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. This is the word of God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." May God bless this reading of his word. I want us to think today about the theme of transformation. In High Kirk over this year, we have been looking at this theme, and various people in the Bible whose lives were transformed. And few lives have been transformed as much as Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is famous. He's famous for being short. He's famous for having to climb a tree. And he's famous because his life was completely turned around. I'm sure as Zacchaeus looked back on his life, he laughed to himself as he thought about the place where that transformation began, in a sycamore fig tree. God today is the same God who transformed the life of Zacchaeus. He can transform us anywhere. He can transform us in a church building. And who knows, he may do that today. He can transform you on a beach. He can transform you in your bedroom. He can transform you as you're driving your car. But this is a marvelous story of transformation. I sometimes wonder about the after story of Zacchaeus. What happened to Zacchaeus? Did he continue to follow Jesus? Did he become part of the young church? Well, apparently church tradition has it, through Clement of Alexandria, that Zacchaeus later became bishop of Caesarea. So not only was Zacchaeus changed, but he became an influential leader in the church. He became a bishop. This is one of the ways that we know Jesus has truly moved in someone's life, because we see as the years turn over, we see that transformation making a difference in their everyday lives. Time tells its own story. Zacchaeus was truly transformed. His was a transformed life. He would never be the same again. Today I want us to see three very simple things in this story of Zacchaeus. First of all, we see in verses 1 and 2, a tax collector. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. At this stage in his ministry, Jesus was attracting large crowds, and they hung on his every word, and they were wondering and amazed at the many miracles that he did. One of the people in the crowd was Zacchaeus. We are told that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He must have heard about him. He knew about the stir that Jesus was causing, and he was interested. He was curious to see him. Now, Zacchaeus, we're told, was a tax collector, or in the King James Version, a publican. Tax collectors were disliked, to put it mildly. Not only did they work for the Romans, but they were usually unscrupulous cheats. Not only did they collect the money for the Romans, but they also collected more than they should because they were pocketing it for themselves. And you will notice that it says here that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. So if tax collectors were despised, how much more so Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector? It tells us in the passage that he was wealthy, and no wonder. It is important that we understand this, because if we're thinking of this theme of transformation, we have to see how much Zacchaeus was changed. Zacchaeus was considered to be beyond the pale. He represented a class of men who were cheats and liars and who cared very little about people. In fact, in verse 7 of this passage, the people mutter, "He, Jesus, has gone to be the guest of a sinner." The irony is that the name Zacchaeus means righteous one. If anyone did not live up to his name, it was Zacchaeus. He was anything but righteous. And you can imagine, as Zacchaeus was walking down the street, you can imagine the people sneering, "Here comes the righteous one." He was neither righteous with God nor righteous with others. This was Zacchaeus, a wealthy man, but his wealth was from ill-gotten gain. The ordinary folk, as they looked at Zacchaeus, saw in him a man beyond hope. And yet it was people like Zacchaeus that Jesus was most interested in reaching. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." He was on a rescue mission, and the lost take many forms. And if you're looking at a kind of a spectrum of sin, Zacchaeus was at one extreme end of it, and everyone else had given up hope on Zacchaeus. He was a sinner. He was a robber. He was a tax collector. And yet Jesus came to seek and to save such. Sometimes we look at people in our communities, and maybe they're a drug addict. Maybe they're an alcoholic. Maybe they're someone who has been in trouble with the police constantly. And we have this view that they're beyond the pale, and yet Jesus came to seek and to save such people. But of course, we ourselves are sinners. Yes, we can look at people like Zacchaeus and almost write them off and see them as not as good as us. But the Bible does remind us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that little word "all" in the Greek means all. Every single person who has ever lived falls short of God's glory. So although we can look down on some people, and we can see some lives like Zacchaeus' life, which seem far, far from God, actually we are all in need of God. No one is beyond hope. And maybe even there's someone in this building this morning, and you feel, because of things that you have done in your life that no one else knows about, that you are beyond God's grace, that you are beyond hope. But Jesus came for you as well. He came to seek and to save all who are lost. C.S. Lewis once said, "No one knows how bad he is until he tries to be good." We all fall short of God's glory. We are all in need of God's grace. Actually, none of us can get to God in our own strength. We all need God's grace upon us. In fact, we're all a bit like Zacchaeus. We're all a bit like the tax collector. We all have robbed God. So this is the first thing that we see here. We see a tax collector, but we also see a bit of ourselves in that tax collector, and we see a bit of Zacchaeus in us this morning. But then secondly, in verses 3-6, we see a tree. Zacchaeus may have been a wealthy man, but he was a short man, and there wasn't much that he could do about that. You can picture the scene in your mind as Jesus is walking through the streets, and a large throng of people is gathered around Jesus. But Zacchaeus wants to see him, and he's jumping up and down trying to see, but he can't. He's frustrated, but he is curious, very curious, for he has heard many things about this Jesus. And despite his occupation, despite his background, despite his position, he feels strangely drawn to Jesus. And he sees a sycamore fig tree. And he thinks to himself, you know, if I climb that tree, I might be able to get a glimpse of this teacher. I might be able to see him maybe healing somebody. And so verse 4 tells us that he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree. Now, I want you to notice two things here. It says he ran and he climbed. Now, certainly in Middle Eastern culture, men of a certain age did not run in the street. And our culture is pretty much the same. And I wonder how many of us who are of a certain age would be seen running in a hostel. Probably very few of us. And yet Zacchaeus did. Again, I wonder how many of us who are men of a certain age last climbed a tree. Now, maybe you had to climb a tree to rescue a cat or to get a ball, but I would suspect there's very few of us in this building have climbed a tree recently. And yet Zacchaeus did. He was so curious, he ran. He was so curious, he climbed a tree in front of hundreds of other people. This chief tax collector, this wealthy man, he was willing to set these things aside. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, makes this point. He says, Zacchaeus ran down the street like a little boy following a parade. You see, curiosity makes us do strange things. During last summer, I and the family were visiting in London. And I've been in London many times, but I'd never seen the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace. And so we decided one morning to go and see this. And we got there about an hour early. And we figured out that the best place to see this was from the Queen Victoria statue just opposite the gates. But of course, we weren't the only people who decided that that was the best place to see the changing of the guard. And there were literally hundreds of people there. But the one thing that most amused me was seeing elderly men and women climbing the statue because they were so keen to see the changing of the guard. Maybe they thought they were going to see the Queen herself. But dignity seemed to go to the wall because they climbed up on these statues. They didn't care what they looked like. They were just so curious to see this changing of the guard. And Zacchaeus was a little bit like that. He didn't really care what others thought. The most amusing part was that after spending a lot of effort in climbing up the statues, the policeman came along and told them to get off again because they didn't want anybody on the statues. Curiosity can make us do strange things. John Calvin writes, "Curiosity and simplicity are a sort of preparation for faith." And that is exactly what was happening here as Zacchaeus climbed this tree. He was curious about Jesus. He wanted to know what Jesus looked like. He wanted to get closer. Now, I believe that the Spirit of God was working in Zacchaeus. You can always tell when the Spirit of God is working in someone's life. They get curious about Jesus. Where before they had no interest at all, now they think about him more. Where before they had no interest in reading the Bible, they begin to open the Bible and read through it. They start to mull over the meaning of life. The work of the Spirit of God is to disturb and unsettle, to probe, to arouse curiosity. The Spirit of God starts to show us things in our lives which are wrong, which before we never saw as wrong. When the Spirit of God is moving in our lives, we start to wonder about life after death, about what happens. We start to wonder about the meaning of life and ask, well, what is it about anyway? Is there more than a meaningless chasing after the wind? And this is the work of the Spirit of God. And Zacchaeus was feeling this. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, was being drawn to Jesus, the rabbi. And whenever Zacchaeus climbed that tree, maybe he thought that no one else could see him. But actually, he was becoming more visible to Jesus, and he was becoming more vulnerable. And this, again, is something that the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God, when he is working, leads us to a more visible place and a more vulnerable place. And it's when we are at our most vulnerable that God does his best work. It is when we are most exposed and when we don't care what anybody else thinks, it's at that time that God does his greatest work in our hearts and minds. And so Jesus sees the visibility of Zacchaeus. And Jesus sees the vulnerability of Zacchaeus. And he says to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Because Jesus saw that this curiosity was of God. He says in Revelation 3 and 20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. I wonder this morning, I wonder today, is the Spirit of God working in anyone's heart? And you're becoming more visible to God and you're becoming more vulnerable. But it's the Spirit of God is doing that. It's not me. It's not anyone else. It's the Spirit of God working today in this place. We see a tax collector, we see a tree, and thirdly and finally, we see a transformation in verses 7 to 10. As they head off to the home and all the people are muttering, they cannot believe what is happening. Of all the people that Jesus could have chosen to come and speak with, of all the people that were there whose home he could have visited, he goes to a sinner like Zacchaeus. Jesus did not care what people thought of him. He was on a mission. He was on a mission to seek and to save the lost. And he didn't care about the guilt by association. He didn't care what other people thought of him. He wanted to see Zacchaeus in the kingdom of God. We don't know what was said around the table. We do not know what passed in conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus. But we do know that the curiosity led to conviction. It led to faith, and it led to Zacchaeus calling Jesus Lord. In verse 8, he says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount. Zacchaeus doesn't just call Jesus Lord, but he shows that Jesus is Lord because it makes a difference in his life. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, Zacchaeus, the one for whom money was the most important thing in his life, he shows that now money is not the most important thing. because he is willing to give it away. Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back. Zacchaeus is beginning to live up to his name, the righteous one. Transformation is leading to repentance and restitution. He was not doing these things to earn salvation. No, he did these things to prove that he had salvation. These things were evidence of salvation. And for a money man, a man who probably idolized money, this was the most significant thing that he could have done to show the reality of his faith and his transformation. I said earlier at the beginning of this sermon that one of the tests that shows whether a person is a genuine follower of Jesus is time. As the time moves on, you see the difference. But another test is our talents. The talents that we have been given by God, what will we do with them? Whether that's a gift that he has given to us and the Spirit gives gifts to his children. What are we doing with the gifts that God has given to us? If you're a Christian this morning, God has given you a gift, a talent. Are you using it? Are you using it to build up the church and to bless others? Or are you just sitting on it? If you're a genuine Christian, you will want to put your talent to use. But again, there is the test of our money. Maybe today we are like Zacchaeus because we have robbed God and we're holding on to money that we could be giving for God's service and God's use and God's glory. Maybe we are the robbers. Maybe we have robbed God of what is duly his. Maybe we have robbed other people of affection. Maybe we have robbed people close to us of quality time, and our marriages have suffered, and our relationships with our children have suffered. You see, if we are truly Christian, then it ought to make a real difference in our lives, Monday through Saturday. It's easy to come to church on a Sunday for an hour, but if our lives are truly transformed, it will begin to cost us. Cost us in our time, cost us in our money, cost us in the quality of our relationships. People could see the difference that happened in Zacchaeus' life. They could see the difference that it would make in his bank account. If we are truly transformed people, then we will see the transformation, and others who are close to us will see the transformation in our lives. Zacchaeus is not just a story. It really happened. And just to finish, I want us to see the development of thought here, which showed the intentionality of Jesus' life and mission. In verse 1, it says, Jesus was passing through Jericho. It's as if, you know, this wasn't that important. He just happened to be passing through Jericho. It was no big deal. But in verse 5, Jesus says, I must stay at your house today, Zacchaeus. I must stay. It's as if there was an intentionality there, as if there was a purpose there. And then in verse 10, he says, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. As Jesus woke up that day, I think he knew what was going to happen. He knew he must go through Jericho. He knew he was going to see someone, and his life was going to be completely transformed. Jesus is here today by his Spirit. Maybe today is going to be a significant day for someone in this building, because Jesus wants to come to your house today. He wants to come out of this building with you and come into your home. And before today, that has never happened. Before today, you have kept Jesus in this building, and you've kept him in these four walls, and you've kept him at arm's length. But maybe today is the day that you will let Jesus in. and he will transform your life completely, even to the extent of how you will spend your money this week. That's what happened to Zacchaeus, because Jesus was on a mission. And he can transform you when the Spirit is working. He can work in a church building. He can work in your bedroom. He can work in someone's heart, even up a tree. Because this is the Jesus who loves to transform people's lives and to bring us into perfection, to bring us into the perfection of knowing that we are a child of God. Because as God looks at us, he sees Christ in us, the hope of glory. A tax collector, a tree, a transformation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. As this day was a significant day for Zacchaeus, may it be significant for us as you move by your Spirit across this place. May today be a day of transformation as we bow the knee and say, Jesus is Lord. May we become more visible and more vulnerable and discover that God is doing a great work in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.